The good news is that people are getting the message. You may have seen the data that in Louisiana, vaccination rates have gone up threefold in the last 2 weeks. Overall, for the country, vaccination rates are up 56% in the last 2 weeks. So I think maybe I'm trying to look on the bright side of this. What's the silver lining of this is that people are waking up to this. And this may be a tipping point for those who have been hesitant to say, okay, it's time.
Welcome to the show. That's where we are with masks and mask mandate and everything else. Golly. It's Monday. Hi. Another week. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash. DanaLash.com. Go and subscribe to the newsletter, chapter and verse, all kinds of good stuff. And this, if you subscribe to the newsletter, I already sent out a brief to you, so you should have all of that. But a couple of things. I'm trying to figure out and as always, I hope you had a good weekend. I'm just trying to figure out how I'm going to present this to you. Because I didn't realize, and I also have a story to go along with it. And I'm just trying to figure out the best way I can talk about what the CDC actually based their numbers off of. You know, Kane, how would you explain the concept of a not in the animal kingdom bear?
A not in it, well, a captive then bear?
No.
Be one in the zoo?
No, it's not an animal.
Oh.
It's not an animal. Not an animal bear. How would you describe that?
A bear. Man, I could get in trouble with my answer.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so
I don't know if I should answer that.
So here's we're just gonna do it. So apparently the CDC's their breakthrough numbers were based on Bear Week. No, it's not like Shark Week. I had to have a conversation about that with somebody today. I'm going to start today with a story. And I want to remind everyone that I am not Big Bird. This is not PBS. And I am not here to entertain your children. So don't sit them in front of the television and have me babysit them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right? I think that should go without saying. All right, now that we've established that, I'm going to tell you the story of one time I went to a neighborhood party when we lived in St. Louis City. And that's going to be how we're going to start today's show. So I don't know if I ever told you this story, Kane. And this is going to roll into exactly what, I am going to bring this tugboat to shore. I'm going to tie it to exactly how, in Provincetown apparently, this is all related to the breakthrough cases that caused the coronavirus concern and the fear mongering that resulted, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Because apparently the CDC extrapolated the numbers for Bear Week to the U.S. population at large to fear monger. Once upon a time when I lived in downtown St. Louis City, my husband and I were invited to a party. And it was a house party, and it was, you know, some well-to-do folks who lived in our area. They were very nice. And we get there and it was kind of crazy. And I just remember, oh yeah, this is going to be insane. Don't laugh. You're going to laugh at me. And this will make something. Long story short, I was, you know, making my way around and talking to different people in the backyard, different groups of folks. And there was one group of folks that I went up to, and I thought, honestly, that they were like bikers at first because they were wearing plaid and they had like patches on their jackets and all this stuff. And I was just like, okay, all right, so they're like bikers or something. I don't know. I mean, what do I, you know? And I walked up to them and I introduced myself and we were talking and chatting. And well, I was talking and chatting, actually, because I realized at that point nobody had said anything yet. And I asked one of the gentlemen what their patch was, and it was because it was like a paw that was on his vest. And I was like, is that like a scout's thing? And that's when I realized from the affectation of his voice that it was not like a scout's thing. And that's how I learned what bears were. Is that a pretty good description?
That is. You're still dancing around it, but yes.
They're they're like the biker looking gay guys, right?
Yeah, they're the
Steve. Let's put Steve on the spot. Steve, how would a millennial describe bears?
You put him on the spot.
Oh, I'm totally gonna put him on the spot. He can handle it.
First of all,
it's DJ Fonda.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh my gosh, what? Are you serious?
Maybe terms have evolved over time. I have no idea.
So they're like the plaid wearing.
This has been a term for a while, though.
Yeah, dude, it's been a term for a while. So they're like the the biker looking gay dudes, right?
Yeah, like a husky, hairy,
like a husky male model
gay dude, right?
I got it.
Right, yeah. So they're like that, yeah, husky. Yeah, that's the best way to. Yeah, it's like the opposite of somebody that would be on the fashion thing with Heidi Klum, Tim Gunn. Right. The opposite of Tim Gunn.
Right.
That's who you would. That's the best way to. And it's like a whole apparently.
Well, the physical,
subsect.
Yeah.
It's like a
look.
Yeah, it's like a subsect. I bring this up, long story short, because apparently in Provincetown, it was Bear Week, and apparently everyone and their brother is talking about how the CDC actually based its outbreak numbers on this, because it was more so that than it was with 4th of July. Although I think everyone tried to sort of just like, you know, conflate the two. I mean, there is a difference in, I mean, when you're talking about days in when the virus actually starts to show. And so, yeah, so I have that. You got some of that in your, in the brief email today. It said that because the cases that, you know, people were overly vaccinated. But when you look at the dates of Bear Week, they said it was July 10th through July 18th. And when you look, oh boy. And when you look at the actual CDC study dates, what were the CDC study dates? Oh my gosh, they were that exact same time. So, I mean, I know. And there's a lot more. We're going to talk a little bit more about it because that's, I mean, I'm being completely serious. And Twitchy had a great thread of a gay rights activist explaining why the Provincetown, the P-Town study was flawed. Because they increased the Delta variant. They increased the cases because they were, like I said, they were extrapolating what happened during Bear Week in P-Town. And that was extrapolated to all of the United States. And then the fear-mongering commenced. So I'll quote someone who had said, I don't think that the CDC could possibly have selected a less representative sample to measure viral load and justify post-vax masking than Bear Week in Provincetown. So there you have it. And that's why the cohort that for the CDC skewed largely male without any actual reason why. Because everyone's like, is there something with dudes that's like, are they more susceptible? It was because it was apparently Bear Week. Roar. I don't know. Just so that's one of the, you're all right, Kane. I kind of am going back and forth as to how uncomfortable I want to make Kane.
I was wondering how you were going to get
Juan
that.
Hides behind the monitor, so he's like totally protected. He's just like, I'm not having this conversation. And Steve
unscathed.
Doesn't know what's happening.
I feel unscathed. At
yeah.
The moment.
Okay. Well, we just got started
so
and
far,
it's Monday.
So
yeah. Yeah, it's the bear numbers, the bears, it's the bear. All right, so we've got, that's one of the things we're watching. And I think that's an incredibly important narrative because the other part is you're supposed to trust the science, right? You're supposed to trust the CDC. You're supposed to trust Rochelle Walensky, despite the fact that this has just been an absolute disaster. The whole messaging, all of this has just been crazy. So with this, we also have, I have more things for you, the hypocrites that want you to do as they do, except not real, or listen to what they say, but don't really do as they do. So first off, you have Barack Obama, who's going to invite 50 of his closest friends to his celebrity-studded 60th birthday party in Martha's Vineyard, right by where this outbreak of bears happened. So yeah, 500 people to his 60th birthday party at his $12 million mansion right there on the ocean on Martha's Vineyard. So I guess he's not really that worried about climate change and erosion and et cetera, et cetera. Pearl Jam is going to perform. Oh my gosh, Pearl Jam, it has come full circle. I am made of jokes about this, guys. It was like the gravelly mouth soundtrack of my youth, right? My coming of age. So Pearl Jam, in probably the bougiest move ever seen, they are going to be playing a celebrity-studded 60th birthday party at a $12 million Martha's Vineyard mansion. Hey, hey, because nothing says alternative like playing a millionaire's former president bougie mansion 60th birthday party, Kane. Am I right? Hey, right? You know it. Gosh, did you ever think that they would? Did you ever? Kane, what if I would have told you in 1996? Guess what? 1994. And when I was in high school. And this would have been kind of weird, but still, what if I would have said, Kane, you know, however 20 plus years from now, guess what? Pearl Jam is going to be playing at a birthday party at a mansion in Martha's Vineyard. And you would have been like, shut up, you crazy weirdo child.
Would have laughed at you.
Yeah, you would have. You would have totally laughed at me. Everybody, because it sounded ridiculous. So it's going to be held outside of his 7,000 square foot mansion. By the way, they bought that for $12 million in 2019. So it ain't $12 million no more. It's higher than that. And I've been hearing people try to defend this. Everyone's going, oh my gosh, well, they're going to have masks. And you know that they're going to completely and totally have tests. And you're going to have to show your vax card. Except, wait a minute, but we were told, follow the science, that the vaccinated people were actually spreading this. So I have questions. So we're learning this, right? This is the other. So it's the hypocrites like the former president. It's the hypocrites like also Lori Lightfoot. Lori Lightfoot was out at Lollapalooza, maskless. She was pictured hanging out, talking with folks, totally maskless. And then, of course, the D.C. mayor, Muriel Bowser, right after she put in place a mandatory mask for everybody else in D.C., Mayor Muriel Bowser, she was partying with Dave Chappelle. She also, didn't she officiate a friend's wedding? Everybody was maskless. She was hanging out with Dave Chappelle. Everybody was maskless. Yeah, somebody had tweeted to her, why do I need a mask this morning when you didn't last night? Because follow the science. Science says the more famous you are, the less contagious the Delta variant is to you. Because science... That's how science works. I bet you guys didn't know that, did you? Mm-mm. You know why? Because you're just the poor, unwashed masses. See, only people who are famous and therefore inoculated by their famousness against the Delta virus, the Delta variant of the coronavirus, only those people know. So, by the way, speaking of people telling you to follow the science, WebMD is now saying, okay, guys, guess what? We're going to have to, on birth certificates, the American Medical Association is now saying that sex should be removed as a legal designation. What? Which is crazy because the CDC was just telling us, why are all these dudes like mostly affected from this crazy breakout in Massachusetts? Because, you know, forget the fact that it was because Bear Week. But still, how would you actually be able to, if there was something with dudes that made them a little bit more predisposed to catching the Delta virus, the Delta variant, then how would you like be able to scientifically ascertain this if, as the American Medical Association says, just strike sex from public birth certificates altogether because it's just a social construct? You know, diseases affect everyone the same. Both sexes get every disease completely the same. Like the people who thought were male maybe when they were born, they can totally have ovarian issues because all diseases affect everyone the same because sex is a social construct. These are the people telling you to follow the science about the Delta variant of the coronavirus. Do you trust these people? Whether you're brewing the perfect cup of coffee before heading to work or cracking open a can of 300 on your next backcountry mission, Black Rifle Coffee Company is here to fuel wherever life takes you. Black Rifle Coffee Company is a veteran-owned coffee company, and they serve premium coffee to people who love America. They develop explosive roast profiles and experiment with new roasting methods with mission focus to bring you the best coffee possible. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders by giving back with every purchase you make. This summer, Black Rifle Coffee Company invites you to enjoy your coffee, not just in the great taste of America's coffee, but also the places you drink it and the passion and adventure it fuels. Take Black Rifle Coffee Company with you anywhere with their ready-to-drink cans and on-the-go packs. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV to find what inspires you. Use code DanaTV for 20% off your first coffee club purchase, coffee and select gear. That's 20% off with promo code DanaTV at BlackRifleCoffee.com/DanaTV. Fuel your summer with America's coffee, Black Rifle Coffee.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Some of the comments that I'm getting from you all, by the way, are hysterical. So we're going to have to revisit some of it. Oh, no, we're coming back to it. Don't worry. Okay. Headlines. It's time for headlines. Women's soccer, Team USA lost to the Canadians, ending their shot at gold. I just can't. look, I don't ever want to not root for Team USA, right? Because I don't care. I want to always root for Team USA. It really makes it difficult when, you know, so the person that's representing your team just nags the ever-loving life out of you about things that aren't actually real, like the pay wage gab and all this stuff. So, I don't know. I know a lot of people are like Schadenfreude, but I don't know. You don't want, don't like fall into the crowd that's always, that's rooting for America's failure just because we don't like, you know what I mean? I just get real, I don't know. So I am actually kind of ambivalent about that, but they totally got their butts kicked by Canada. Politely, probably. LA Mayor Eric Garcetti signed an order criminalizing homelessness, and he's also imposing $1,000 fines, which makes totally sense to fine people who are completely homeless $1,000, right? Instead of encouraging private citizens to maybe, I don't know, engage and help everybody, they're doing this, which tells you this is like limousine liberalism at its finest. Instead of encouraging people to go out and help these people that are homeless or might have drug addictions, etc., they're doing this, which is kind of, it's just sad to me. Also, this is crazy. So this was from The Independent. This is in Britain. The guy's name is Adrian Target, a family link that reaches back 300 generations to a cheddar. This is in Britain, a cheddar cave. This basically, anthropologists discovered that this old skeleton that's from like 829 AD is related to this 42-year-old history teacher in Somerset, England. Yeah. His family really didn't leave that area. Stick with us.
More Americans died from drug overdoses last year than any year on record. Yet parents and kids are not being educated on the crisis, and there seems to be no real plan to address it. I'm Sarah Carter. On the latest Sarah Carter Show, former DEA official Derek Maltz joins me to discuss just how big a problem this really is and what can be done to fight back. Don't miss this really important conversation. Subscribe to The Sarah Carter Show at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your one-stop shop for the information you need to fight back. If you're going to have to learn stuff, you might as well enjoy it. The Dana Show.
Private businesses, I am asking them and suggesting to them, go to vaccine-only admission. Go to vaccine-only admission. We did this, Radio City Music Hall, months ago. Reopened, vaccine-only. Private.
So that's Governor Andrew Cuomo, who says, you know what, we just need to have vaccine-only admission for businesses to encourage people to get the vaccine. I have to tell you, welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here, danalash.com. I cannot emphasize how badly the Biden administration screwed up the vaccine thing. It's horrendously bad. Because I've got questions. I'm not anti-vaccine. I just have questions, right? And also, how do you blame people for not getting it when the messaging is just so awful from the White House, so bad? Because think about this. I have a number of friends who are super conservative, and they're like, okay, well, it looks like, you know, and I mean, they're kind of like where we stand on government forcing you to do stuff. And of course, I have some friends who are completely the opposite on this, that are conservative. But I have some friends that are like-minded who are like, okay, well, maybe, you know, I'm looking at the data, and the data that I'm looking at, you know, it looks like, you know, they actually may work, and the adverse risks are very small. And you wouldn't know that from the horrible way that this has been handled, the rollout has been handled. And I said before, I think it's super unfair to blame Republicans, because Republicans, I think, were all for. If people who supported Trump were as brain dead and ridiculous as the media portrays them to be, then why would these people question getting a vaccine that was developed by Trump? Right. Because remember when all of the stuff with Operation Warp Speed first came out, and it seemed like the way that the media was handling it, as though they were acting like Trump himself was making the vaccine, thus it was going to be totally flawed and awful. Remember? I think one of us had even mentioned this. We were like, well, why isn't the media acting like Trump is the one who's legit making the vaccine. Like, he's in the lab with the gloves and the white coat and everything else, and he's the one who's making the vaccine. And the way that the media portrayed it is that they didn't trust it. We had so many sound bites, and we've played them ad nauseum, of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris even saying they don't trust it. And they were almost, they were right up to the line of mocking Trump supporters and Republicans for trusting a vaccine that was being created under the Trump administration with Operation Warp Speed. And then when Biden becomes president, then he starts taking credit for it. And they acted as though this was, I mean, it was just a, you know, this was actually Joe Biden that did this. Remember even some of the speech that some of the speeches that he had, and I noted it, like when he was speaking, it wasn't a State of the Union, but when he was speaking to Congress, and he was discussing the vaccine and the vaccine rollout, and the way that he described it, it was almost as if he thought that he was presenting it as something that he had done. And then just the other day, I noticed that finally, for the first time, he credited Trump for the vaccine. I wanted to pull this up. This was because MSN said Biden takes full credit for vaccine work. And Mediaite had this, MSN had this story. And then, just like I said, just the other day, he started coming back to, he only had kind of said it once before, he started coming back to giving Trump credit. And I think that he might be doing that. My initial thought, because I'm suspicious of everything, is that, oh, well, they're going to try to act like this doesn't work, because they're going to hide their bungled messaging on the vaccine and handle any criticism of the vaccine not working by saying, well, Trump created it, so we just handled the rollout. I'm just anticipating everything here. But I've had friends, you know, they're not bossing anyone around. They're not throwing shade on anyone who didn't want to get the vaccine, but they're just simply saying, oh, well, we're looking at this. And, you know, we see, even if it was completely effective, you wouldn't know because of it's so horrible. The messaging is just so slate. Even I can't even believe I'm saying this. Slate. It's a lefty publication. They hate me. They hate you. Here's the headline: The Noble Lies of COVID-19. They said COVID-19 as opposed to saying CDC or NIH. They blast Fauci. They blast Walensky. And they talk about how their quote unquote noble lies back and forth made it to where no one wanted to believe them. They said noble lies are a trap. The loss of trust is devastating. The general population is far too skeptical to blindly follow the advice of experts and far too intelligent to be easily duped. Oh my gosh. When you have the left and right, they're going to unite us after all, fam. Oh my gosh. When you have the left and right both coming in on the same conclusion with this stuff, that's pretty significant. Very significant. Here's another narrative for you. The data shows it's not just Republicans that are refusing this vaccine either. In fact, one of the reasons that you're never going to see a vaccine mandate from this administration is because they will ruin their support with the demographic blocks that they need. It's not just white Republicans that are questioning this, that are vaccine hesitant or not getting it. In fact, and I have, if you get my newsletter, I have this included in your stuff, and then I'll have it in prep as well. I'll have another piece in prep later today. But actually, the Black and Hispanic communities, these are who are not, and it's not because they lack access. I think that's such a stupid argument. It's because the way that the left is trying to spin the Black community's distrust of this or hesitancy, they're trying to act as though that the CDC's bungled messaging and, of course, the previous Democrats in government, the way that they did the Tuskegee experiments, etc. They're trying to say, well, it's not any of these things. It's not because of us. It's because, you know, they don't have access. They don't have access to Corona. I mean, they do these vaccinations everywhere. I'm pretty sure they do the vaccinations even at Whole Foods between the cantaloupes and potions aisle somewhere. I mean, they're everywhere. everywhere you go. I mean, you go, I think you can walk into a Hallmark store and they're in the greeting cards. There's probably a vaccination where they administer vaccines. They're every, don't you see this too, Kane? They administer these everywhere. It's not because of a lack of access. It's because CDC is shady and y'all messed up with your messaging. And now they're going to act like it's an issue of race. It's not an issue of race.
You know what I hate also is the fact that they don't talk about natural immunity. People that have gotten COVID, which by the way, 99.9% of you have gotten it and survived.
That's the white adjacent part of you talking. How dare you?
But that's my point is with vaccine passports requirement and all that, what there is no room for natural immunity. You're like, look, I don't need a vaccine. I have natural immunity. Why are you trying to force me to get a jab?
Well,
when
you can't
I don't
talk about any of that. You got to follow the science, Kane. That's not part of the science that we're following. Sorry.
But it is science.
Sorry. No, sorry.
It's just totally
science. Okay. It's okay.
All right.
So that's, I mean, these are big things. Kane's trying to tell me to not say Bear Week in P-Town anymore. This today's show is the Bear Week in P-Town edition because that's what the CDC used to skew all their stats. I mean, think back on it for a moment. The P-Town stats, I mean, it was because the survey dates for the CDC and Bear Week completely coincided. It was at the exact same time. And then they published this. They extrapolated it to all U.S. citizenry. And then everyone began to fearmonger. And then everyone's like, why is it like overwhelmingly men who are getting it? Is there something about being a man that the breakthrough and factions, is there something with that? Like, what's happening here? I don't know. No, it's because it was Bear Week in P-Town. Which, by the way, and then you have AMA saying sex should be removed as a legal designation. But see, what if, and I pose this question and I come back to it, what if it really was a thing where men were somehow more susceptible? Well, AMA says you got to move sex markers from birth certificates. Can't have these anymore. This is so old school. It's not everyone has the same health issues. So this is what they had tweeted this. I have the tweet too. WebMD had actually tweeted that out. And they had said in their tweet, and I quote, sex should be removed as a legal designation on the public part of birth certificates, the American Medical Association said Monday. So, okay, there you go. All right. And then the article that they linked discusses how requiring it can lead to discrimination and unnecessary burden on individuals whose current gender identity does not align with their designation at birth. Wait, who designated them? It was the Lord. Okay, so that I'm namely, when they register for school or sports, adopt, get married, or request personal records. Yes, I can see how it would be discriminatory if a man couldn't register as a woman and play on a woman's team and displace a female from a particular position and or varsity position or scholarship, etc. Oh, wait, what? Mm-hmm. They have this like frillion word count piece where they said that, for instance, these are what actual scientists are saying because now science has been politicized. And this is from the Follow the Science people. We need to recognize gender is not a binary, but a spectrum. So can you kind of have a penis? I don't understand. Like where on the spectrum does... I'm asking a scientific question. How dare you throw shade on my scientific curiosity? How dare you? I'm offended.
I think if we keep it more about chromosomes, you know, XXXY chromosomes, I think that would make it.
That sounds like scientific bigotry.
Just science.
You sound bigoted. It's just science. Follow the science. Also, sex is kind of a spectrum. You can kind of have boobs, I guess. You can kind of, I mean, seriously, is this where, what does that even mean? Spectrum. I'm kind of a gradient male. Just, but follow the science, right? Same people. Follow the science. You can understand why people are hesitant. because the scientific theory, the whole process has been politicized. Science isn't just what you want it to be. That's the thing. It causes you to ask questions and you have to follow where the data leads. Big, big thing here. Very, very, very important stuff. All right. Some of the other things that we're watching, we'll come back to this. The 2,700, I've read like maybe 2% of this, 2,700 page, $1 trillion. That's Dr. Evil money. His third suggestion. That is the new infrastructure bill. So it's like $1 trillion. And so far, there's already some pretty fun stuff. So, for instance, $250 million from an invasive plant species removal program. A friend of mine, Oilfield Rando, is doing what? Oh, man, it's bad. $50 million on for studies on how to tax us more with road usage and per mile fees. $50 million. That's our money, right?
Yeah.
So you have to go, as I've said before, you have to purchase Fruityos instead of Fruit Loops because someone needs your money to study how to tax you more in the government. But wait, there's more. Apparently, we're paying for Amtrak train service in Canada. What can I just ask? What is the progressive obsession with trains? Could anything be more stereotypically Atlas Shrugged? What is this whole, and then ethanol and train? What is the whole obsession with going back to like 18th, 19th century travel and shipping? Oh, we got to do it by trains. We can't have a pipeline carry our oil. I mean, we're going to be getting the oil and gas regardless. But instead of having an efficient pipeline, which also doesn't use fossil fuels to operate, we need to use an olden days form of transportation that is entirely powered by fossil fuels in order to carry fossil fuels and save the environment and preserve fossil fuels. Does that make sense to me? Still sense to me? Right.
Plus eminent domain in order to get the tracks laid down.
Right. Yay. Yay. It must be fun being an environmentalist. It's just reality is just doesn't even exist. It's just everything is marshmallow fun land. All right. Speaking of marshmallow fun land, we've got a lot of stuff to discuss. The continuing discussion about Bear Week in P-Town. Oh, man. I found their new, their tourist department, right? Every town has one. That I feel like they should incorporate this in because apparently that's what the CDC thinks, that all America is like Bear Week in P-Town because they think that data is representative of all of you. We're going to talk about the latest with Rona, Biden versus the media. This is odd. I'm keeping an eye on this right now. I'll just give you the top line here, but I'm keeping an eye on this as well. We also have some wokery. Facebook is blocking the promotion of Officer of the Year because policing is sensitive. And then, of course, we have this Harvard professor who's being blasted because she used the term pregnant women, the phrase pregnant women, because you can't say pregnant women. It's only pregnant people. And apparently saying pregnant women is hate speech. And so now the woke crowd is coming to cancel a female because a female said pregnant women. Follow the signs, though, right? We have a lot still to get into, a ton of stuff, in fact. And then Stephen Yates is going to join us because we'll talk the latest with China and also on Iran. I think the clock has gone out on Biden trying to get any kind of non-really deal done. Not a really a deal, maybe kind of a tree. So we'll get into all of that and more. This year, Kel-Tec is celebrating 30 years of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Kel-Tec launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms, pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Kel-Tec firearms are proudly made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Kel-Tec firearms by visiting KelTecWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about my friends at Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec, game-changing innovation and performance.
The Dana Show.
I talked too long last segment, so I apologize for robbing you of time. This is what we have coming up. Jonestown was actually sold as a socialist utopia. More data on Bear Week in P-Town. Also, why is Biden fighting with the media? And China aggression. We'll discuss that with Steve Yates coming up. We got a bunch of stuff. Don't go anywhere, forks and spoons. Stay with us. Let's talk about trust. Now more than ever, we need to support organizations like Patriot Mobile that really share our beliefs and actually do something about it. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier and donates a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for causes you and I care about. There's no better time than now when we celebrate our freedoms and Independence Day to check out Patriot Mobile. Switch today and choose between 50% off your first 2 months or $100 off any phone in stock with a one-year commitment. Choose a plan that best fits your budget with multi-line discounts and free premier activation. Switching is easy. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call the U.S.-based, highly rated customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. Veterans and first responders save even more. Switch to a company that you trust to tell the truth. Get 50% off your first 2 months or $100 off any phone in stock with a one-year commitment and free premier activation by using promo code DANA. See details at PatriotMobile.com/Dana or 972-PATRIOT.
As a public health person who wants to see this pandemic end, yes, I think anything we can do to encourage reluctant folks to get vaccinated because they'll want to be part of these public events, that's a good thing. I'm delighted to see employers like Disney and Walmart coming out and asking their staff now to be vaccinated.
Oh, so this is the NIH director, Francis Collins. There's too many S's in your name. Francis Collins. Well, that they NIH Director Collins says, yes, I would like for more businesses to require vaccine credentials for their customers. Please, someone ask me for my vaccine credential. I have a million ways I can answer this. And unfortunately, I think only one of them is acceptable to share with you on air. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, DanaLash.com. Make sure you go and subscribe to Chapter and Verse, the newsletter. You got set up with everything that you need to know for the first half of this week already. You'll have my prep email, and then I got a couple of deep dive pieces for you this week that will be coming at you too. So I don't think that we're, I don't see, like I said, I don't think we're going to have any kind of vaccine mandate just because Democrats do not want to lose the two demos that are most hesitant and are completely justified, by the way, in asking questions about this. And that is the Black community and the Hispanic community. Once Democrats do that, I think that's why there's this extra emphasis on making sure that it's all white Republicans, that they have to pretend that it's all white Republicans that are hesitant. Every bit of data out there shows that there are actually other demos that are very hesitant about all of this. I mean, it couldn't have anything to do with the CDC's bungled messaging. Nothing on that. I mean, even when Slate weighs in on this stuff and actually says the noble lies of the CDC, and when the left is actually questioned, I mean, it's pretty, pretty unbelievable. So it's an amazing thing to watch. Also amazing, I saw this new video from Bill Malugin, who is with Fox in Los Angeles, and he's an RGV. So he's down in our KURV sister area. And the pictures in the video that he's getting are stunning. There's a line around the block at the Catholic Charities there where people who have entered illegally and turned themselves into Border Patrol. He says that Border Patrol buses and vans are pulling up every 15 minutes. Agents tell us it happens all day long. Hundreds released so far. No testing taking place. And you have no idea if somebody's positive or not. But if you were to go, like say you go on vacation and you come back, you know, say you go, I don't know, Caribbean or somewhere. And then you come back, you have to prove that you are negative. Coronavirus Delta negative before you're allowed reentry. And if you have a problem with that, you just go and just do what these people are doing apparently at the border, and it's just fine. Although I'm very curious if you tried to do that, if they would separate you and make you prove that you have a negative test. So the follow the science crowd has assured us that the Delta variant is apparently less contagious than the RGV in the Rio Grande Valley because science, right? It's like the same science that has told us when you are at a restaurant, the virus only lives at a certain level of air. So if you're standing, totally contagious area. But once you sit, your head goes under that jet stream of contagiousness, and it passes right over your head. You didn't know that science, did you? Did Francis Collins tell you about that science, Kane, over at NIH? Just curious, you know. So that's apparently the same thing that's happening at the border. The Delta variant is apparently way less contagious at the border. I didn't know that. I mean, I'm, you know, these are the follow the science people. The border to Canada is closed, but this one's okay, right? Canadians are totally contagious. I mean, is it a coincidence that contagious and COVID in Canadians? Let's start with C. No. Science. Follow the science. But at the border, you know how you can tell that people coming from Mexico or Honduras or Guatemala or anywhere else, that how they're not contagious? Because their countries don't start with C. Science. Science. Very important. I guess you guys didn't know that. We talked a little bit earlier. I'm only coming back to this because Kane dies a little bit every time I say it, and I just like the look on his face. I wish some days we're going to have Kane reaction cam, and we're going to put that like in the lower corner just so you can see how he reacts in his face, because it's funny. It's what did we say?
I'm not telling.
Bear Week in P-Town? Oh, yeah, we did. We had to explain what Bear Week was because our precious baby millennial, he is a baby millennial, Steve. He didn't know, and I really feel like it, I should have said to text your mom, Steve. I'm really sorry because I know your family listens now. Hey to the Jones fam.
Text his mom that?
No, well, maybe not your mom. Like, ask like a cousin, your sibling. Definitely not your dad.
Just a friend.
Just a friend. Yeah, this is something you do not. Don't Google it. Do not Google it. Do not. Anybody out there? No. Stop it. I hear it. Stop. Because it was Bear Week, and that's the exact same week that the CDC study for breakthrough infections, it happened at the exact same time. And so it appears that the CDC extrapolated numbers for Bear Week. Those are the biker-looking gay dudes to the U.S. population at large, and then got everybody scared about it. And nobody actually, it was only when people started wondering out loud, why is it that this seems to be like predominantly male, these breakout? Oh, that's why. Fascinating stuff, I tell you. All right, so one of the things that we're watching is the big fat infrastructure bill. Because see, the Rona has not stopped Democrats from spending. Big hat tip to Oilfield Rando, who's, I've gone through approximately maybe 2% of this bill. I do this for you because I love you all. That's why I do this, because we're friends, right? Because I got you. We got you here. So we have, just so you know what Democrats want to spend your money on, $250 million for an invasive plant species removal program. Dude, like, I'm sure some of us, like, we all have kids that that need some summer work or are happy to take on some summer work. They can go do some weed eating, right? I mean, that's just pulling up weeds, isn't it?
Weed removal.
Well, hey, we'll handle that. Ain't no thing. We got it. So, yeah, this is on page. This is, I think. Oh, goodness. This is like just in the beginning. Yeah, this is in the beginning. This is like right after where I'm reading. Invasive plant. So it gets into literally section 11522, invasive plant elimination program. So they're looking at cheatgrass. They're spending lots of money. $250 million on this. And the language reads, the term invasive plant means a non-native plant, tree, grass, or weed species, including, at a minimum, cheatgrass, Ventanata dubia. Isn't a dubia a cockroach? And I only know that because my kid has a pet scorpion, and that's what it eats. Aren't dubias cockroaches?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah. Or is it just a Crosby, Stills, Nash song? I don't know. Yeah. Medusa dubia. Head? Bulbous, bluegrass, Japanese broom, rat tail fescue, sidebar. Rat tail fescue, not a band name, but a great name of a Kentucky lawn and garden store. Japanese honeysuckle, phragmites, autumn olive, Bradford pear, sidebar. Bradford pear is invasive. Did you guys know this? I just thought they were pretty. And then now one of the members of my family hates Bradford pears, the pear trees, more than any other. I've never heard a hate like this. Hates Bradford pears. When they purchased their property, ripped up all the Bradford pears, hates them. I didn't realize that that was an invasive species. You should read about it. I didn't know. I actually read because I thought my relative is nuts. And then as it turns out, actually, they are correct, although a little bit excitedly so. Just, you know. Anyway, they list all kinds of stuff. Wild parsnip, garlic mustard, Palmer amaranth. And they are spending $250 million to remove this. Also, studies on how to tax us more with road usage and per mile fees. Ooh, and also, guys, here's some money going on studying how people hit deer. What? Page 556. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How's the infrastructure again?
They said because deer are infrastructure, apparently. Oh, how okay. dare you question? Is that racist? It's racist. $50 million for 10 transportation resilience and adaptation centers of excellence. What the heck is that?
What are those?
If your name is that long, I think you're kind of not needed. Right?
Not this kind
of. Transportation resilience and adaptation centers of excellence. What does that even mean? So in this section, this is page 557. In this section, the term center of excellence means a. Oh my gosh. Sorry, I'm interrupting myself. Let me start over. In this section, the term center of excellence means a center of excellence for resilience and adaptation.
What? So they just repeated it?
Yeah. And so they have 10 regional centers of excellence for resilience and adaptation and one national center of excellence for resilience and adaptation, which will serve as a coordinator for the regional centers. They're going to receive grants to advance research and development that improves the resilience of regions in the world. That's what I would imagine a resilience center would do, you morons. The resilience of regions of the United States to natural disasters and extreme weather by promoting the resilience of surface transportation and infrastructure depend. Oh, guys, I need something. I need a stress ball. I need to read this sentence one more time, and I'm so sorry. They're promoting resilience of surface transportation infrastructure. This is the actual sentence on page 557. An infrastructure dependent on surface transportation. Okay.
Oh,
so this sounds like also some climate change gobbledygook, doesn't it?
Right.
Some climate changey garbage.
Surface transportation, like, wouldn't that be roads and stuff? Like,
yeah. But heaven forbid you just say roads.
Right. Like,
they're going to upgrade Amtrak passenger rail service between U.S. and Canada. But the border's closed right now because of the Delta. Human trafficking, which nobody likes, but why is that in an infrastructure bill? And, oh my gosh, and this is Oilfield Rando's doing the work that everyone should be doing. He's reading the stuff that the lobbyists wrote. Promoting women in trucking.
What?
Lady truckers. Oh my gosh! All banjo, female cover band, lady truckers. Oh man, I'm all into that. I want a hat that says lady truckers. I know there's some lady truckers out there, but that's why I'm like, why do you got to promote ladies in trucking? Really? Is that a big thing? Who's sitting around going, you know what, guys? I just don't think that America can function as America unless we have some more lady truckers. I really want to know, like, how many women were... But wait a minute. Hold up. Stop. Stop everything. Stop everything. AMA just told us that sex is a construct, that we got to start removing this stuff.
Wait, are they saying lady trucker? Do they use the word lady?
No, I'm doing it because I like the way it sounds. Glaive, no one's asking you anything.
I just want to...
Our intern that we've had forever.
Are these birthing people truckers?
Yes, they're birthing people truckers, Glaive. It's our intern that we've had forever.
They're not mother truckers.
They're not...
My bad.
Yeah, they're
birthing people truckers.
Promoting mother truckers in trucking workforce. That's what we're going with.
Steve's hovering over the dump button.
No. Trust me. Call me for your free reading. So they say women are significantly underrepresented in trucking, holding only 24%.
But that's just a construct, the beating the woman thing.
Now, I'm going to say something. I can say this because I'm a chick. You're talking about women drivers here, okay?
So you're saying they have hard enough time with four wheels as opposed to 18 wheels?
I'm just saying. I mean... Just multiply that by 18. Just multiply the problems. I know there's some ladies out there that truck. And I know that they do not get offended at this stuff because, you know, because they're real women. But really, like, who's sitting around going, you know what? I think we need to add some other truckers in here. That's what we need to add. And we need to spend money on it. Sounds fantastic.
What is it to accomplish, though? Don't they say what it's supposed to?
No. Like, no. When they implement are you? These? I'm sorry. Are you? I mean, seriously?
It's my money.
Well, the only thing I can get is this is on section 23007. This is line 19, subsection 4. Women truck drivers have been shown to be 20% less likely than male counterparts to be involved in a crash. Lies.
But there's 40% less on the road.
But there's a lot of this, and we need to talk about it, and I'm going to be talking about this with you. But just so you know, we're going to be, for lady truckers, we're going to be spending some cash money, M-O-N-N-A-Y, on this. So maybe you need to spend less, pimp.
Yeah, we wouldn't need
that. I'm telling you, right? Maybe we need to. So we've got all of this and more coming up. Plus, now a Harvard professor is in trouble because she said pregnant women, and that's not allowed. Tell me how this isn't the patriarchy.
The Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
I have got to shut up more when I'm going through my first segment here. A Belarus sprinter is not going to go home after her comments caused a stir with the government. This comes, there was a sprinter from Belarus. She actually went to Japanese police in Tokyo. She said that she was supposed to be in action. She did not like to be. She didn't like some of the things that her coaches were doing. And so they were going to send her home. And she wasn't going to go. Stay with us.
For over 40 years, Delta Rescue has provided dedication and everlasting love to animals that have been left abandoned. Delta is the largest no-kill and care-for-life animal sanctuary in the world. This super sanctuary is home to up to 1,500 animals that have been cruelly abandoned or born in the wilderness and cares for every animal for the entirety of that animal's life. Every animal at Delta Rescue receives the very best of care, and Delta relies solely on donor contributions from people like you for that care. By being a part of the Delta mission, you are the difference between life and death for so many of these animals. Donate today at deltarescue.org, or for more information on Delta's tax-saving estate planning, visit directly deltarescue.org/Dana and ask for my free estate package. It lays out all you need to know about growing your estate while letting your compassion for animals live well into the future. This is only available at deltarescue.org/Dana. Show your dedication and everlasting love and make your legacy work for the animals. Visit deltarescue.org/Dana today.
Of all your favorite talk hosts, one of these is not like the others. The Dana Show.
I believe the FDA on this one. I think they tend to be more risk averse, and so they tend to get the science a little bit more right more often. And I think the CDC has been politicized in this case, I think from pressure from the administration. Again, because I think the Democrats love to instill fear in the hearts of Americans. And I think Americans are really sick of this. They're over it. They're not going to comply. And you shouldn't comply with any more lockdowns, with any more mandates. None of it. Well, in the House, they're trying to fine us and jail us if we're not wearing a mask.
That's Dan Crenshaw. And he's right. I mean, he's absolutely right in that. And I don't think that we're going to have another lockdown. I really don't. And I don't think that we'll have any kind of vaccine mandate. Simply because, as I explained, first off, the economy would never, I don't think that it would ever recover if we had another, and there's no way. And then secondly, Biden would lose all support with any any voters from the Black community, Hispanic community, because they all act like it's just like these white Republicans that are not getting vaccinated, and that is not the case. Welcome back to the show. It's so good to be with you this Monday. And don't forget, you can also stream the program on the Odyssey app, 12 to 3 Eastern, 12 to 3 Eastern, 11 to 2 Central every day. And again, you can download the Odyssey app and stream the show that way. And don't forget, no apologies on the 1st, 5 p.m. Central, 6 Eastern. And the simulcast of the radio program is also on the 1st, too, so you can check that out. And my Spotify bumper tracks playlist, I got you all set up. So, goodness. This... two things that we're watching. First off, the administration and really Washington and the media kind of try to get a handle on the complete breakdown of narrative as it relates to the pandemic here in the United States and vaccination rates, et cetera, et cetera. Additionally, we're also looking at some of the ridiculous spending coming through with the infrastructure bill. They're going to be fighting this over in the Senate. and we've been going over some of the ridiculous spending that is in this the infrastructure bill, and I have more on that as well here coming up. The other couple of other things that we were looking at, and I want to make sure that we get to every bit of this, all of the big stories that we have today. I want to talk about a little. I want to get some wokeness because you know that we have the follow the science crowd, right? It's all follow the science, follow the science, follow the science. That's all we've been hearing, right? So what about this Harvard professor who, her name is Carol Hooven. She is a biology professor at Harvard. And she is in trouble. Some of her colleagues have been trying to get the rage mob to go at her on social media because she won't say pregnant people. She insists on the term woman when talking about people who are able to get pregnant and have babies. And she was talking about the pressure on educators to use the phrase pregnant people instead of mother. And she had said that the ideology seems to be that biology really isn't as important as how someone feels. Now, the director of the Diversity and Inclusion Task Force for Hooven's biology department at Harvard said that she was angered by her comments. The director of Diversity and Inclusion is angry. She's angry at Hooven's comments. And she's been tweeting about this. And I mean, like I said, she's been trying to get the rage mob to go after this professor. And this woman, she tweeted this. Her name's Laura Simone Lewis. And she's listed up at Harvard. She tweeted July 30th, quote, "As the director of the Diversity and Inclusion Task Force, my department, I'm appalled and frustrated by the transphobic and harmful remarks made by a member of my department in this interview." Because this biology professor was on Fox and Friends. And all she said was she was talking about pregnant women. Now, apparently, it is transphobic. And remember, anything that's considered transphobic, that's like hate speech, right? So now it's considered transphobic to simply say pregnant women, to even say women. And that's exactly, I mean, it plays right into the hand of what this biology professor was talking about. There's a lot of pressure now that, and this is starting to become more widely reported within medical schools to avoid terms like male and female. But you guys, follow the science. Follow the science. How many times have you heard this? Follow the science. Follow the science. Follow the science. You've heard this a million times. Okay, who's science? Because now we're told that science is transphobic. This biology professor, and I have to say, I'm not trying to be snotty, but when I'm looking at I'm looking at this Laura Simone Lewis. She is, she's a PhD candidate. She works with it looks like sociology is kind of what she went to Berkeley. She's a biological anthropologist. Okay. She works with animals. Okay. And then this is a biologist, Carol Hooven, that she's trying to correct, who works with people. I still, science is science. I don't understand why now it's transphobic to say pregnant women. Oh, it's because it's not? That's why. It's because it's not. Carol Hooven's been there at Harvard for 20 years. This is at Harvard. Did you ever think that at any point we would have a headline where somebody at Harvard gets in trouble for saying pregnant women? That now that's considered transphobic, which transphobic stuff is apparently also hate speech, and now you can get fired for it? So I don't know what's going to happen with this professor. I would imagine that they're going to try. They're just going to. She got into it. She published this book. It's called T, The Story of Testosterone, the Hormone That Dominates and Divides Us. And so her book came out in July. And so she was doing her book tour. And that's how she ended up. She ended up being on Fox and Friends. And she was talking about her book, et cetera, et cetera. And she was talking with a number of different publications. And she was talking about part of science is teaching facts. She says, and the facts are that there are, in fact, two sexes. There are male and female. Those sexes are designated by the kind of gametes we produce. Do we make eggs, big sex cells, or little sex cell sperm? And that's how we know whether someone is male or female. And the ideology seems to be, she says, that the biology isn't really as important as how someone feels about themselves or feels their sex to be. And it's now she's, and this is something that is now becoming more prevalent throughout these schools. So this Laura Simone diversity lady, she says, if you respect diverse gender identities and aim to use correct pronouns, then you would know, she says, that people with diverse genders and sexes can be pregnant, including trans men and intersex people and gender non-conforming people. And I mean, she like goes on and on. She's like, that's not too hard for medical students to understand. Inclusive language like pregnant people demonstrates respect for it. No, it doesn't. It erases women. Follow the science. It's really difficult to follow the science of people who believe that science says that women don't really, they shouldn't really exist. And let's be honest, that's what this is. That's what they're talking about. You're erasing women. You're erasing women. That's not the only one as well. Kansas City Chiefs have retired their mascot, a horse named Warpaint. The franchise, they're not going to change the team's name, according to Chiefs president Mark Donovan. But they're no longer going to showcase a horse mascot named Warpaint galloping around the field on game days. They said, we feel like it's time to retire. So war paint is like the sacrifice to keep the Chiefs. That's what they're doing. What's wrong with war paint? They said that he's not going to be returning to Arrowhead Stadium. And they said that they have no plans to change the team's name. But they said that they are going to continue collaborating with a really good American Indian working group that provides guidance and feedback and perspective on this issue. Blah, 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 blah. Kansas City Star had the story. And they said that they began... In 2014, they began inviting Native Americans on the field for the blessing of a drum, in which they actually, I think that's kind of cool because especially, I mean, when I was in high school, we were the Warriors. And when I was in junior high, our mascot was the Chiefs. And I think that's cool. In fact, that's pretty hardcore cool. I mean, you're trying to build up your team. You pick a mascot that's very tough and intimidating and inspires reverence and respect. And that's exactly what I think you would do. I just don't know how a horse plays into this. You know what I'm saying? Like, how does the horse deal with that? And there's, like, apparently, you know, like a BLM associated group. They called on the Chiefs to cease use of Native American branding. It's a chief is not a branding, by the way. Just stop. But I just don't understand. I think feels like the horse is like the sacrificial lamb, so to speak, to keep the actual team name. Doesn't it seem that way to you? I just don't understand why war paint the horse would be a problem. Horses were also painted up, but it's not. People need to learn the difference between appreciation and appropriation. We really do have, I think, a comprehension problem in this country. Definitely. But there's a huge difference. Very huge difference. So a couple of the other things that we're looking at, polling numbers for Joe Biden are horrible. He's like Kamala Harris's are even worse, though. And some were wondering, is that why you're not seeing her? Because she's not anywhere on the border. I mean, she's the border czar. Is that what she is? Border czar, border head. I don't know what she does.
Yeah, I don't know what her official title is. She's not a czar, though.
No. She wanted to find out what was going on at the border, so she went to South America. Or no, she went to Panama. She went to where? Guatemala. She went to the Triangle countries. And then she wanted to find out more what was happening at the border. So she went to the part of the border where the wall was built in El Paso and never actually left the airfield, apparently. And Beto got his picture with her. His selfie. And then she went back to then she went back to her ritzy California neighborhood, and then she went back to DC. But her polls, her polling numbers, Democrats are kind of concerned. And The Hill has a very interesting piece on this, where they said Democrats are concerned because she is not well favored at all. They said she has a lot of ground to make up because her favorability, at least by the public's perception, is bad. And Biden has to start, they have to start looking at their midterm strategy. There's a lot of discussion that they're really going to hurt their chances in the House. That's one of the other things we're going to get into. Economist YouGov poll, though, looking from July 24th to 27th, shows her unfavorable at 48%.
The Dana Show, sponsored by 30 years of game-changing Kel-Tec innovation, like the P50, a new breed of pistol. Innovation. Performance. Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I'm not apologizing for any of these Florida Man headlines. First and foremost, there is a Florida man, 76 years old, who was jailed after performing a botched castration on a man he met on a eunuch fetish website. Officers found the victim's dude parts, the beans, in a jar on a bedside table. Gary Vanyersfrederik, he's got a lot of consonants in his name, performed a botched castration on this guy. The victim bled uncontrollably. He had to be airlifted to a hospital. He said he suffered suicidal thoughts, since the procedure. And apparently, the guy's a fruitcake. I mean, he's an absolute nut job. It's awful. Oh, man. I am so not putting this story in your prep because there are photos. It's not going in your prep email, but I'm totally going to put it in for Kane and Steve and Juan to look at. So sorry, guys, but now you got it. So this guy obviously is in a lot of trouble. He was arrested, and apparently he's been continually incarcerated, off and on. And not only was he doing these botched castrations, but he has vision issues because he has bad glaucoma. What? There's so many things wrong with this story. I don't even know where to begin. I don't understand this. Maybe you guys can. I shared this. I put this in Slack, too. Gardner Minshew. He is gearing up for Jaguars training camp in an unusual fashion in hopes of beating out Trevor Lawrence for in the quarterback battle. He's refusing to use the restroom facilities and do a two. Anybody want to explain this one to me? Steve, Kane, anybody, you got anything?
Superstition?
He said it's not an option for me when he was talking about that, using the restroom in that fashion.
So he doesn't want to deuce till after the competition's
yes,
over?
Yes, no deuces until after the competition. And he says he hasn't gone in weeks.
What?
Dude.
That's not healthy.
Most doctors say that they're concerned if it goes on like past 3 days.
Right.
And if it's like after a week, they're like, please seek medical assistance. So that seems unhealthy.
Yeah, and a much lower center of gravity now for him.
Well, and it can kill you. There was a dude who starved himself for more than 40 days because he didn't want to deuce out evidence in a drug case. And there was one girl who, 16 years old, it was fatal. She avoided bowel movements for 8 weeks, and it actually compressed vital organs, and it was bad. Bad stuff. Why do people do this? Just like, if you're going to be suspicious, then be suspicious in a way that is not weird.
I mean superstitious.
You're superstitious. Thank you. Yes. Be superstitious in a way that is not weird. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, just keep it simple.
Or damaging to your health.
Yeah, I don't even know how I came. No, I'm not.
He never had the starting job to begin with from April, so I don't know why he even thinks he's going to get it. So I don't know. He's just hurting himself.
Well, maybe he thinks that this is going to give him a little extra, right?
He's probably just full of crap.
Yeah, I might just be full of crap on this. Who knows? Also, there are apparently phallus snakes. They call them. From South Florida, several legless amphibians from South America have been spotted in a canal near the Miami International Airport. I cannot say this name. Caecilians are native to Colombia and Venezuela, but they've been found in Florida. They look like they're discarded snakes. They're nearly blind. They use sensors attached to their face to hunt. And they are gross looking. They're nasty. It looks like it's something that is a joke on nature. I just don't know. But they look like male copulatory organ snakes. That's what they... I'm trying to not say the name because we have some very sensitive ears in some markets and some people, even if it's in a scientific fashion, so I have to do Word Olympics. I want a gold medal. So that's gross. Everything's gross. Just be normal, right? Don't be weird. That's all I'm saying. Or like, weird in a weird way. Stick with us. Stephen Yates is going to be joining us coming up.
Well, I don't understand the ban. Certainly, this seems like something local officials ought to be able to decide based on their community's circumstance. And we do know that kids are capable of getting pretty sick. We've lost about 400 children who have died from COVID-19 since this all started.
So this is NIH Director Francis Collins. Just doesn't understand why it is that DeSantis is banning mask requirements for schools. And I don't know whether or not Collins is actually going off of the number that the CDC had provided that last week the Wall Street Journal and Johns Hopkins completely disputed by saying that the 335 cases that they were using as a way to justify remasking at schools they didn't vet any of the cases, and that each of those actually had a secondary health condition that contributed to the fatality, as opposed to the prevalent thought that it was coronavirus. Welcome back to the show, everyone. It's Monday. Good to be with you. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. Make sure you subscribe to that newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. You got a lot of good stuff that comes out at you with that. And don't forget, you can download the Odyssey app and listen to the show 12 to 3 p.m. Eastern daily. That's 11 to 2 Central. And no apologies on the first, 5 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Eastern. I think I have Fox tonight. I'm not quite sure yet. I know I have it tomorrow night, but I'll let you know. I'll update you on Facebook or in the newsletter. So, schools, because everything's going to be kicking back into gear in what, like a couple of weeks now, I think. And there's a really great piece. You got it this morning. I sent this to you this morning because the narrative around schools is that it's best for the kids, and if we just mask, except one of the things that we always knew from the beginning, we always had a lot of pretty indisputable data regarding coronavirus infection, whether or not asymptomatic or symptomatic, et cetera, with kids. And we had this data pretty early on. And now it seems as though we're just going to fly by all of that and not follow the science where it concerns kids and masks and schools. And so Carol Markowitz has done a fabulous job over at the New York Post. She has a great piece up. Masking kids and closing schools is irrational, unscientific child abuse. And I completely agree with her. And the idea that to base public policy on what ifs, and this is why I don't engage in hypotheticals, because we are using hypotheticals possibly that could happen in the future. We are directing public policy based on a complete absence of science and just fueled by speculation. That does not seem to be the smart way to go about this when there is a lot of data that's pretty indisputable already available as it relates to kids in schools. Carol Markowitz's piece over at New York Post gets into this, and she cites a study that came out of the UK last week. And the study shows that kids transmit the virus at a much lower rate than adults. And this was this leader of the study was an epidemiologist, Dr. Shamez Ladani, found that children, quote, aren't taking the virus home and then transferring it to the community. These kids have very little capacity to infect household members, end quote. And so UK does not have this policy as it relates to kids in schools because they're basing this on data. They've decided opposite of what our CDC is now pushing. The UK is not putting masks on kids, and this from their Public Health England's medical advisor, Dr. Susan Hopkins, who said it's important, quote, it's important that primary school children don't wear face coverings. They said that because the infection rates are so low and that wearing face coverings, quote, could affect their development, end quote. But here in the United States, we're actually making this determination to do the opposite in spite of all of the data out there that says we should be maybe incorporating the UK method in here. I love this because I think that Carol Marskowitz gets really into it. She says, nevertheless, even though knowing that kids just don't have the capacity to infect household members, she writes, nevertheless, we Americans inflicted misery upon our kids. We took away school. We kept them apart from friends. We needlessly covered their faces. And it wasn't all kids who suffered, though. Kids in private and parochial schools in urban areas went to school. Kids in public schools in GOP-governed areas also went to school. And everything turned out okay. States with open schools didn't have more child COVID cases and certainly not more hospitalizations or death. Schools without mask mandates didn't have significantly more COVID cases. They simply put kids first. But kids unlucky enough to live in blue cities and blue states were subjected to anti-science mania of gentry liberals and the cravenness of political leaders beholden to teachers' unions. Boom. She cites a McKinsey study that came out last week, which surveyed the damage. And it concluded that school closures, quote, left students on average 5 months behind in mathematics and 4 months behind in reading by the end of the school year, end quote. Wow. So this is, it's just so concerning. And I really don't, no, teachers' unions don't get to make policy about your kids. You do. The end. It's interesting because Markowitz notes that only 40% of New York teachers and received the vaccine. And AFT, American Federation of Teachers, led by Randy Weingarten, was telling media last week, quote, we believe strongly everyone should get vaccinated unless they have a medical or religious exemption, blah, 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 blah. You know, build trust, et cetera, et cetera. And Markowitz said, yeah, you know, just use cash. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Also, banning a mask mandate is not the same thing as saying you can't wear a mask.
Well, there's, and Kane's right, because there is a difference here. And I don't understand why it's so difficult for some of our brethren on the left to fully grasp this. Telling someone that they don't have to wear a mask is not the same thing as they cannot wear a mask. And if you have so much faith in your mask, what do you care if someone else does not have a mask?
And if you're unvaccinated, doesn't mean you're infected. And if you have COVID, doesn't mean it's a death sentence. This is what the media has been doing and hyping this up. We warned you about this weeks ago here on the show. Mm. And this is what they've been doing.
Mm. I mean, it's just really just unbelievable. Some of the stuff that we've been seeing here. Just, and then San Francisco is now, they're now asking everyone to go ahead and get their, they want San Francisco to wear masks indoors, regardless of vaccination status. Now, here's the thing. Remember what I just said about American Federation of Teachers? The New York State Teachers Union now says they do not support a vaccine mandate. Good for them, but that, I think that also needs to be applied to families. I mean, that's the thing. I don't think there should be a mandate for someone to be able to keep their job. That's just the thing. You can't have the government. This is where the government doesn't have power. This is also where people, this is a good test of whether or not people really believe in freedom. Because fear and this idea of guaranteed safety is not freedom. Not at all. And that seems to be what this is. I feel like that's what a lot of the messaging is selling. That's what a lot of the messaging is pushing, is this idea of safety. That's why I think it's ridiculous when they say things like, oh, well, we're going to get rid of the virus. We're going to, what did Biden say? We're going to shut down the virus. You have Governor DeWine now in Ohio asking that kids wear masks in schools. He's urging. It doesn't appear to be a mandate yet. That's not for the governor to decide. That's for parents to decide. And regardless of whether or not someone agrees with someone else's parenting decision, you don't get to do that. I mean, it amazes me that there are people that have greater outrage to parents determining whether or not they can have their kids wear a mask as opposed to allowing the government, but yet then gauge their feelings on whether or not kids can have like hormone replacement therapy and stuff with or without parental involvement, et cetera, et cetera. There's a number of these stories. It's just amazing what people react to as to what they think is safe for kids to do.
And as far as Governor DeWine's concerned, I would say that parents would probably be more accepting if the message was, you know, let's encourage kids that may need to wear a mask to wear a mask, as opposed to let's require every kid to wear a mask.
But and DeWine's response is not based on, again, this is not based on science.
Right.
Do we follow the data or not? I think there are a lot of Republicans out there and that are, not a lot, but there are some that are just too afraid to just be honest about it. They're too afraid to acknowledge, look, the data is not supporting this. And I think that there's some people on the left that are kind of quiet about this because they know that if they speak out about it, I mean, here you have the cancel culture rage mob. But this idea of getting to a safe point, there's no such thing as a safe point. There's no such thing as this. You just need truth and transparency. But I don't know. I keep going back to this idea that, and I'm looking at some of the stuff here where Biden has said in his speeches before, et cetera, that, we're going to shut down this virus. You're never, ever, ever going. You just have to be proactive, and acclimate. And that's pretty much all you can do. But I'm telling you, I am, this idea that we're going to force kids in opposite of what is actually being, what the data shows, this is just illogical. And apparently, it's causing fights between the CDC and the White House. A very interesting piece from Vanity Fair on this. We'll also touch on, again, coming up, this infrastructure spending, although this is just all the procedural stuff happening now. Stephen Yates is going to be joining us, though, here in a bit with the latest on the, well, China, Iran, and so much more.
Shooting down woke culture one crazy headline at a time. It's The Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So MTV has turned 40 years old. It turned 40 years old on Sunday. And do they play music videos anymore? Yeah, I don't think so. Kane's like, thanks for the 18, 19 years of music. I don't know if they have. I can't believe they turned 40. Yeah, a lot of years of not playing music. Does M2 still play music? They had MTV2 for a while too, right?
Yeah, every now and again.
Oh, every now and again? They started that one so they could play music videos.
It's a channel where they launched their show ideas.
Oh my gosh, I can't even deal with it. Ammunition shelves are bare, at B-A-R-E, as U.S. gun sales continue to soar. So it's crazy because actually violent crime, except in certain cities where you have most restrictions on firearm ownership, continues to decline. This coming from the AP, though, it is hard to get ammo. I think maybe the pandemic, and then you have record sales of firearms. So there's what's being called an ammo shortage. And of course, federal agencies buying it up with recreational shooters and hunters. So, yes, I kind of get the feeling also that the AP doesn't realize that you have range rounds and defensive rounds, and there's a difference there. So you're fine with your range rounds. That's what I don't think people, you know what I mean? I don't think people are realizing this. So you can still actually go and you can practice. There's a, you know, there's a difference there. So the Olympics are still happening, and the one weightlifter from New Zealand, who he identifies as a woman, he goes by the name of Laurel Hubbard. He was one of the first to compete at the Olympics, and apparently he flopped at the competition.
That's a shame.
So, yeah. And so I think that it is, and I don't think that people should use this as like vindication. Like, there's no difference because not everybody actually goes for the same weight. And sometimes I just think it's fake. Because this dude competed as a dude up until like a couple of years ago. So, I don't know. Federal government issued $783 million in stimulus checks for prisoners. This is coming from Legal Insurrection. They said that the prison population got a lot of tax dollars. That was part of the response to the pandemic. The federal government doled out about a little over, actually almost $784 million for incarcerated individuals as a part of the American Rescue Plan. American Crossroads submitted a records request And the IRS revealed that money flowed to 560,000 individuals who were incarcerated for the full 2020 tax year. Additionally, the American Rescue Plan, this is when it was passed, it granted $1,400 of stimulus cash to people that made less than $75,000 a year. So, as Senator Tom Cotton said, Democrats voted to give stimulus checks to violent criminals in prison, every single one. And he's actually not wrong. So, yeah, and they did say that it would. And remember when the Washington Post tried to do its Pinocchio fact checker and say that it wasn't true? Yeah, it was, though. But it was. So coming up, our friend Stephen Yates joins us. We have a lot to discuss. Is Biden trying to restore the Iran deal? We'll talk.
When you're stuck discussing politics with your friends, who's the most informed person in the group? Yep, you are. You're welcome. Listen, follow, subscribe.
Mayor Bowser, what's your response to the backlash about you not wearing a mask?
Back up, guys.
Oof, that's the DC mayor, Muriel Bowser. Nintendo had no part in this. Who is declining to discuss violating her own mask mandate. That's fine. Was she officiated a wedding and all kinds of stuff? And I don't know. She was hanging out with Dave Chappelle, I think. And yeah. I was like going back and forth on. I'm trying to remember everything that she was doing. And it's not just her. It's, you know, a number of other leaders as well, like Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot. Our guests today are good friend Stephen Yates, who is, you can find him on Twitter at YatesComms, and he. Well, he's a foreign policy expert, previously advised former Vice President Dick Cheney during the Bush administration, and he's still traveling, still globetrotting. He was in D.C. recently, and Stephen, first off, happy Monday to you. Were you were forced into wearing the face diaper, weren't you, being out in D.C.?
Well, I have worn a mask from time to time. In this particular instance, I was in a freer part of the former republic, and then I came back to D.C., and in order to take a ride service to just get to my home, I did have to put this ever-important cloth on my face out of respect to my driver to make my way home. But, I mean, I just really feel like they have completely lost the country common sense and the narrative on all of this stuff. I find very, very reasonable people who don't share my politics that are just sort of gobsmacked about, wait a minute, you said masks worked, and a year and a half in, you're still saying the mask up, and it's a one-trick pony. It's all you got.
Yeah.
We've been vaccinated. We've been sick. We have bundles and bundles of data at this point, and you can't even explain how you're testing for a variant. You just sort of smugly tell us talking point statistics and say, we're going to shut down things again. And now we start hearing these rumors of Team Biden in the White House working on a new shutdown strategy and policy. It just seems like the worst possible thing for our country, our economy, and everything else. And we still haven't even been able to tell the truth. It's taking the minority report from the Congress to say, once again, this came from China. Mm. While we're watching the Tokyo 2020 Olympics that are happening in 2021 because of China, but don't talk about it. But yeah. The saving grace was the Taiwanese defeated them in badminton over the weekend. So there is some karma in the world.
There is. There's a little bit of, and that's a great point too here, something caused by China, and you have the Tokyo 2020. It's kind of jarring to see that. It's
weird.
An ever-present reminder of how weird everything has gotten. But we're still going full speed ahead, apparently, with Olympics in Beijing. How is this even happening? Surely, Stephen, there have to be other countries that are kind of scratching their heads and maybe vocalizing, against this a little bit, right?
You would think, but in a way, it's only the smallest of countries that are out there that have lived with what real communism, real authoritarianism is. I mean, in Europe, the most vocal and courageous of the countries is Lithuania. They have been very open about having a normal relationship and communication about Taiwan. They've been very, very clear about the evils of stomping on promises of democracy and freedom in Hong Kong. Very clear about having ethical supply chains, clean technology. They say the same kinds of clear things about Russia and other places, too. So, I mean, really, in some ways, the world would do much better for itself if it listened to some of these smaller voices instead of claiming to represent minorities. Actually, listen to what some of these experienced minorities have to say in the world. But right now, I mean, I'm just gobsmacked about the Olympic situation. I grew up actually inspired when Bruce Jenner won the decathlon. I grew up inspired by the Miracle on Ice, by watching the fastest people on the planet just blow doors on the track. And now all of these, all the copy is about a population-free stadium, people who are losing or backing out, and coming up with some form of demonstration. It's sad in so many ways, but no way in the world should the Olympics go back to China in 2022. And if they do, no one should follow.
No one should follow. I'm going to come back to China in a minute, but you mentioned some of the athletes that had to drop out, or I know that there was and she has got a lot of consonants in her name, and I think her last name is five syllables alone, from Belarus, the sprinter from Belarus, who disagreed with her coaches on something. The next thing she knew, she's being packed up. I mean, actually packed up. Someone's packing her, and they take her to the airport. She ran to Japanese police to say that they were trying to get her to go back to Belarus against her will, and she said that it was a kidnapping. And this comes because for people who might have forgotten, Lukashenko, who heads up Belarus, he was they intercepted the plane that had this journalist that was very critical of Russia. I know he's besties basically with Vladimir Putin, and they call him one of the last tyrants there. Tell us a little bit about this, because to me it's still stunning, and I think it's kind of still an example of just how far. I know everyone sort of looks at Russia as maybe being kind of defeated, but it's that ideology that's still ever present, the same ideology that you see in China and Belarus. They're acting like I'm just shocked that this continues in 2021.
Well, it shouldn't be happening, and it shouldn't be happening at the Olympics. I mean, there is history of bad things happening at the Olympics going back many, many episodes where there have been hijackings and other kinds of crimes committed. So this is another one of those things where I don't want to depress everyone who's watching and listening again, but it's just a reminder of how willfully the dominant ruling class of the world is to be distracted or soothed with the sounds of their own voices, and will pay attention to what a very comfortable Germany has to say, but will ignore a very clear and blatant problem in Belarus. And again, not to beat the same drum twice, but Lithuania is having an immigration problem of people getting pushed out, fleeing authoritarianism and other things into their small geography because of what's happening there. And the EU couldn't possibly be bothered by this because they have to work on pipelines and talk about mood music and engaging Iran and other kinds of topics. And it's saddening, but it is very real that the ruling class is so distracted and diverting attention away from these things. And whether it's the working class in America or the working class of Europe, there's still real threats out there. And I feel like we have an obligation to try to speak up for them.
Oh, completely agree. Talking with Stephen Yates at Yates Comms on Twitter. Is the Iran deal dead with this administration? I know they have new leadership that's coming in, but it seems like they're very, very resistant, not just to the Biden administration, but the U.S. even more so than previously.
Well, sometimes Hollywood and comedy is closer to reality. This just reminds me of The Princess Bride and the argument about, is he dead or mostly dead? And is there some kind of a pill that can bring back the mostly dead? And we're at this kind of stage where the Biden administration is taking something that couldn't in any way, shape, or form pass the United States Senate as a treaty. That has plenty of evidence to say that there are problems. The new government in Israel that the Biden administration lauded because they detested Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu so much now is saying that there's grave concerns and that no new deal should be entered into with Iran that don't take into account the broader security challenges that Iran is presenting. So, I mean, this is just a clown car crashing in every possible direction. And so I think it's definitely mostly dead. But because we have the Biden administration, we might have Billy Crystal and a partner coming in and giving it that one last magical shot. And they just seem to keep going and going and going for it. It's bad for our interests. It's bad for our allies. And it's one thing if you're going to try to criticize Trump policy, at least Trump had maximum pressure on Iran and then dealt with the allies. This is unleashing Iran and not really corralling our allies. It's the worst of both possible options.
Yeah, definitely. Speaking of worst of both possible options, talking with Stephen Yates. So Newsweek had a piece, China, Russia training together against terror as U.S. troops exit Afghanistan. I don't like China and Russia doing anything together. They already share a horrible ideology. I mean, let's leave it at that. I mean, if we have to have something.
Right. Well, most of my life, there has been concern and kind of talk about Russia and China doing things together. And sort of out of that concern was born one of the worst foreign policy decisions of my lifetime. And that was the accommodation of the Communist Party in China in order to balance against the Soviet Union. So there's a deep part of my experience that makes me skeptical of what people will do to try to separate these two powers from doing things. At the same time, anyone with a brain knows that when these governments are talking about terrorism, all they're talking about is who terrifies them. Mm. They're not really talking about terrorism the way we mean, by innocent people being victims of random acts of violence. They are specifically talking about the people who terrify their ability to maintain total control. And so there's every reason to be skeptical of what those things could be about. I think that we should play mind games, play real games, counter-program, whatever else. But just the main thing is not to be fooled. When Russia and China say they're fighting terrorism, that's not what it's about.
Ooh, definitely not. Not what it's about is they're not fighting. They are the terrorists. You can't fight. I mean, you're fighting yourself at that point. One last quick thing, just a headline of different. A headline of actually an assortment of different headlines, rather. President Xi Jinping still cracking down on anything that gets in before or is a hurdle, an obstacle to the Communist Party of China, whether it is still cracking down on Hong Kong or even now at this point. And this, I was unaware of this, the way that they would abuse Interpol to try to go after those, you know, whether it was Muslim Uyghurs, whatever it was, I didn't realize that they, I mean, it makes sense, but I did not realize that they were trying to actually try to get influence within Interpol to use them as this, an extra arm of Beijing. What can you tell us about this?
Well, it's basically part of a piece in that every international organization that China becomes a part of, they seek to use as a tool to advance their own agenda. That's what they did with the UN General Assembly. It's what they do with the Security Council. If they're on a human rights body or whatever, that's what they do. It's what they did with the World Trade Organization, what they did with the World Health Organization. And so it really would be a surprise if they didn't do things like this. The Interpol part is creepy and scary in a certain sense because they've even made the former head of Interpol that was supposed to be their tool disappear from the face of the earth. And so their ability to manipulate these organizations is beyond anyone's real comprehension. And there's been no coverage of what anyone even knows about where the former head of Interpol is. What was the root cause of sort of disappearing from public service in that position? And so it's not just using these tools for their purposes. If you don't toe their line, you just get disappeared and there's no sort of accountability or follow through.
That's beyond creepy. I mean, it's the head of Interpol. This is the agency that's in every spy movie, and they're like supposed to be the tough guys who come in. They help James Bond or whomever. Now that the head of Interpol can be disappeared, anybody could be the head of anybody. Anything could be disappeared by the communists in China.
The ultimate deplatforming goes beyond YouTube, Facebook, everything. The Chinese Communist Party's been there, done that, and is way less ashamed about doing whatever it takes.
Wow. And they're looking at everyone else as we engage in the baby deplatforming. They're like, now we can deplatform people from life. It's the ultimate deplatforming. Good heavens. Stephen Yates, always a pleasure to see you, my friend, at YatesComms on Twitter. Have a great week. Thank you.
Thank you, Dana. Take good care.
You too.
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's Chapter and Verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at danalash.com.
Make sure you subscribe to that newsletter. Got some interesting stuff coming out at you. Link-wise, including this piece over at the Free Beacon. Headline, Wuhan scientists genetically manipulated coronavirus. I'll take duh for 200, Alex. Thank you. So there is mounting evidence. They said that it was accidentally released from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. This is according to this report. They say, quote, sometime prior to September 12th, 2019. And they said that the Wuhan researchers sounded alarms on the safety of these lab environments in China in medical journals well before the emergence of this virus. And apparently in 2016, French defense officials were also concerned that the labs in Wuhan would be used by China for military purposes. And early in 2020, the piece notes, well after the first indications of the virus's spread, Beijing dispatched People's Liberation Army brass specializing in biological weapons to manage the lab, which indicated a military-grade cover-up of the virus. Very interesting. I'm going to put that in your prep for this evening. And last quick thing, I know that, well, I'm going to have a piece about this later on. I was talking about this over the weekend, the one time that I kind of dipped into Twitter over the weekend. I don't know why everybody forgets about Bill Maher's, like, Bill Maher was speaking out against cancel culture. It didn't seem like Bill Maher was against, I mean, this is a Frankenstein's monster situation. This is a guy who helped create to the point to where we are now. And furthermore, I think he's two-faced. He acts one way to his guests because I've met him and been on a show, and acts a completely different way when his guests aren't there. And he's never apologized for blatantly lying about me egregiously on his television program. So it's Frankenstein's monster, and he's dealing with what he helped create. I don't feel bad, and I wish conservatives would stop falling all over themselves and forgetting about this. All right, Kane, today in stupidity.
Well, our very own president, Joe Biden, was out there. And I guess he got confused because he was talking about
day that ends in Y.
More acreage that burned. He said Delaware. Well, you know what? Let's just play it for you.
You know, I come from the state of Delaware. We had more acreage burned last year than the state of Delaware and Maryland combined.
I don't think that that's entirely correct. I don't think... That doesn't seem right to me.
No, it doesn't. It's a little odd.
He knows the size difference, right?
Yeah, exactly. But that would mean, I guess, Maryland didn't have any acreage burning?
Yeah. At all? There's none, I guess.
Zero? So, yeah, it's...
Yeah.
If it's
folks,
not written down
I'll be on Fox this evening. You can... on Hannity's program. I'm not quite sure what time, but you can tune in. I'll have it up on Facebook. But I'll be on Hannity tonight. And don't forget, no apologies on the first. 5 p.m. Central, 6 Eastern. Have a great night. Back with you tomorrow.